Prime ministers
and presidents
may come and go, but the certainty of exemplary entertainment on the Midweek Drive
and the Midweek Drive Morning Edition
remains.
One of the fantastic things about this new technology called Zoom, which we've been using effectively over the last few months, actually, is we can put Midweek Drivettes and contributors on the same program as if by magic. And the magic has worked wonders today because we can welcome for our first Zoomer with the awesomely talented Liz Brewer. How are you, Liz?
Very well, thank you, Alex. Wonderful.
Delighted to see yourself. Now, Liz, I've got something to ask you to start off with, really, which...
Yeah.
I thought was extraordinary, really, because every so often with co-hosts and co-presenters, etc., and with oneself, one just wants to find out what's on the internet, what's on the web, etc. Is it true, Liz, that you were in the original video for
Sleeping? Oh, no, don't ask me that question. I can't remember. I mean, well... It's there.
You do not look literally a month older, if it is indeed your good self who's actually doing your stuff with respect to...
I have to say, you know, because so many people have brought that up, one of the things I was doing during the lockdown was I was playing Tallulah's last album, the fourth one, and I was dancing my way through it to see if I can get the same moves again, because it's a long time, and also to keep fit.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Well, it's fantastic. I mean, I that's something, again, over the years, I never, under the fabulous Liz Brewer, we have the McCoys and Hang On Sloopy, one of my all-time favourite tunes as well, which is great. So, I mean, just perfect, really.
Yeah, I love it. But I can't imagine who suddenly brought that up. I mean, where they were researching or how, but those would have been the days when, you know, I was in Portugal and I'd started the first discotheque club there, 7 and 7 and a half, in this little city village, Albufeira. And I mean, we are going back to the 70s, etc. So it's a long time.
Yeah. Mm. Well, the fact of the matter is, we were delighted to actually see that you still got the magic today and in all sorts of things. It's really wonderful. I just had to tease you with respect to that. I know we were talking about various other bits and pieces on the programme today, but it's great stuff. And indeed, somebody who I know would be absolutely amazed by that video as well is the wonderful Ben Lewis. How are you, Ben?
Morning,
hey,
Alex.
Ben.
Well, thank you. Morning, Liz. Hi, Richard.
Morning.
Excellent. Well, Richard, hopefully, we might get more than the still. He may have decided to actually just put his still up as a magical thing whilst he tries to sort out his phones, etc.
Right.
It's always fun, Liz, working with Richard, because his technology in Richard, sometimes it works seamlessly, other times a little bit more challenging. But, you know, we can just work our way through that.
Even Richard, though we've got him on the side.
Liz, I couldn't have thought of any better way to actually sort of see Richard than on the side. It's amazing. Yeah,
there we go.
Ah, wonderful. Well done. Good to see you, Richard.
Excellent.
See you.
Well, I think, Richard, we're more or less set for this opening line, which, of course, is your film review. But if we may, we'll just ask our two co-hosts today, effectively, if they have any memories at all of this little number, of course, which, of course, is Oliver, the Lionel Bart musical, etc. Liz, any thoughts for yourself?
I have, very much so. But as you know, what I'm going to say is the one that really sticks in my mind and which I love is Bugsy Malone. My name is Tallulah because of Tallulah. And she grew up watching that movie. I mean, it's just magic. Absolutely incredible, with those guns firing whipped cream, and just brilliant.
Yes, it would be so much easier if Alan Parker's line on Bugsy Malone had actually been transposed to America. I mean, how much more fun they would have actually had, as opposed to the tragedies they've actually had, if all of their guns were actually equipped with just shooting whipped cream.
Absolutely spot on.
We should start the campaign now, Liz. You know,
what a good idea.
Whipped cream, not bullets. That's the sort of line. I'm sure with your PR expertise, and with Richard's PR expertise, and Ben Lewis's ever-growing PR expertise as well as a public relations graduate, we can get that to happen. You know, I'm sure we can.
Wonderful.
Ben, thoughts for yourself?
Yeah, I mean, Oliver's, well, it's not really one I've seen, to be honest with you. Richard's going to hate me for. Richard will no doubt hate me for. But the musicals that stick in my mind when I was younger were sort of Annie, Joseph and his Technicolor Dreamcoat, and Chitty Bang Bang. I think they're sort of the main ones.
Okay. Well, as I say, we're kind of juggling a few things around here, because Liz has shared a few memories of the wonderful movie directed by Alan Parker, who sadly passed on yesterday, transcended the whole thing. So I think, Richard, as you are our resident film critic, would you like to just first of all share your own thoughts? We talked yesterday actually with Graham Harper, and he'd actually been fortunate enough to have several long conversations with Alan Parker, who was apparently very fulsome in his praise for Graham's work on TV shows at the BFI and so on. Which is no surprise to us, of course. Richard, your thoughts on obviously Alan Parker, another director, heads off into the great Hollywood in the sky.
Well, indeed, and as someone who gave a tremendous amount as an organiser, it was so impressive, to British film. I mean, as a Knight and CBE, absolutely right, because he was very involved with the BFI and very, very versatile. I mean, what strikes me when I think of Alan Parker is this extraordinary versatility. I mean, I love Liz's memories of Bugsy Malone, because it was absolutely priceless. So it was the first feature film. And then you've got such an extraordinary mix. You've got the two that he was nominated for Oscars for, Night Express and Mississippi Burning. I mean, Night Express was a searing, powerful movie about an American locked up in a Turkish prison, and very controversial, but certainly would be now. It's a long time since I've seen it. Mississippi Burning, about the civil rights movement, and it Willem Dafoe and Gene Hackman, very, very impressive. These were two movies with terrific punch. And then I think if there's a theme, because there's so many diverse films, the thriller Angel Heart with Robert De Niro chilled me to the spine, I think. But if there was a theme which developed in the movies that he did, I think it was music. Andrew Lloyd Webber's paid tribute to him as one of the really great directors. Obviously, you think of Fame and The Commitments, and then you also, but more controversially perhaps, because they had pretty good reviews, whereas when it came to Evita, I think the way he adapted musical, I absolutely loved for the screen. I think it was a little ambiguous because of the characters involved, but Madonna was absolutely fantastic as Evita, and Antonio Banderas as Che, also a terrific hit. So you had this very, very strong musical element in a career that spans so many movies over such a long period of time. I mean, I did meet him a couple of times, just because I knew you mentioned I was in PR and I did the promotion for the Royal Society of Portrait Painters. And Kira Johnson, who was an invited artist, did an absolutely wonderful picture, a wonderful portrait of Sir Alan Parker, and it's online, and I really, really would recommend everyone to have it, because it was inspired by Ong, and really, really superb. Ong was Monsieur Bertin, and it was wonderful, and I find him very, very convivial, delightful person.
Well, Richard, of course, you've omitted one of my own favourite Alan Parker movies, in fact, probably my favourite, and that's Birdie with Matthew Modine, which I think was very underrated and had a wonderful soundtrack by Peter Gabriel. Just on a side, I'm actually looking to a side at this moment in time. I'll explain this to the listener, because we're doing this, obviously, via a Zoom thing, and I'm currently getting my hedge trimmed, and the gardener seemed to be extraordinary high up for a moment that I thought he might have just collapsed over. So it's just, he's all right, though. He's okay. We're fine. You know, so two thumbs up. Good material there. Liz, any thoughts of yourself? Did you meet Alan Parker
over the last few years? I did, but such an admirer of his work. I mean, phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. The amount of films that he did. Absolutely incredible.
And Ben, any Alan Parker movies there that you've seen that you might have sort of thought, ooh?
Well, I reckon there were some that I've seen that I didn't realise were his work, I must admit. But... I mean, obviously, I'm not as cultured as Richard or Liz when it comes to this sort of thing. So,
well, then you've definitely got to watch Bugsy Malone.
I think I've seen it in. I think I've seen a play of it, but I haven't actually seen the film myself. No.
Yeah, you must watch that. You'll love it.
There we are. Before we move on to Oliver and Richard's classic movie of the week, which we're all going to sort of share our thoughts on and so on, Ben, would you like to explain how, having graduated 2 years ago from of Lincoln, or is it a year ago? I don't know. It's a year ago, exactly. You have not only set up your own PR agency, but you're also kind of working very closely with a whole range of things. So what are you doing there?
So I'm, at the minute, I work in automotive PR. So I work for a company called Influence Associates, based in Soho Square in London. And currently working from home, so not in Soho Square, I can assure you. But basically we deal with around 40 to 50 different car companies and tech companies, anything sort of mobility based in London, and transportation, anything like that. So I work with a number of brands. Just this week alone, I've probably worked for about 10 brands. One of them being Bugatti, the others work with various ones from HRN groups, Rolls-Royce, and a variety of brands, essentially working from luxury to tech to e-mobility, anything like that, really. So I deal with, primarily my role is basically managing, either it could be events, it's basically anything in PR, so it could be events, it could be daily press communications, it could be meetings from CEOs, it could be absolutely anything. So it's quite a wide variety. But since I graduated, that's what I've been doing. I've been there now just over a year. And as you know, I did my placement year during my degree as well, so that made it a four-year degree rather than a three-year one, which most students did.
Yeah. So there we are. You see, the next generation, Liz, you know, moving forward, we're in safe hands, really, even if they are staying away from London. Because let's face it, who wants to go into the centre of London these days? Car parking charges? It's time we moved out.
I'm interested by something that he said, you know, like working from home, because the world will reboot now and life will never be the same as we've known it. So what I want to know, Ben, are you going to go back into the office?
Well, it's interesting because we've had these discussions. As you know, I mean, rent is extremely expensive in not just in London for residential purposes, but also for my bosses and their office. So they're paying an extortion amount on rent, which no one's using. And we're all capable of working from home. Now, the only time we won't be is often if there's events going on or if there's meetings that happen. But, you know, the only time we'll use that office space from now on, really, I guess, would be office space for meeting people. But realistically, I don't envisage going back to the office anytime soon. That doesn't mean to say I won't go back to the office, because one thing I miss is having a routine and being able to separate work and home. And, you know, the commute, as much as the commute is an absolute nightmare every morning and every evening on the tube, actually, it's nice because it separates the day. And you've got time to prepare yourself for work or to relax from work. And then once you're through the door at home, you can fully relax. Whereas once you're in the office, you're in full work mode. Now, I think that's where the trouble is at the minute, because you roll out of bed, make breakfast, get dressed, whatever, and that's
Speak
it.
Speak for yourself, your Ben. I know I that Richard Liz and myself.
Right the way down to my basement, which is my office. Oh, actually, during this particular lockdown, I've had my summer office, of course, in my garden. But I actually agree with you in many ways that nothing replaces the proper sort of eyeball to eyeball and personal communication, reading people's energy in a meeting. We can do this, you know, and have a virtual meeting. But in actual fact, the nuances and sort of sometimes that energy information is totally missed. So I think, you know, the old type meetings won't die, but whether working in an office space is going to continue, that I'm not sure about.
Indeed.
That's interesting. How does it affect both your works, Richard? How does it affect yours as well?
Yeah, but I mean, I can balance things because I'm used to basing myself at home and then going in as I did for the first time to see the first movie that showing in central London.
You wear your mask, Richard? Did you wear your mask?
I did. I mean, it wasn't compulsory in cinemas. Oh, isn't now. It will be on the 8th of August, of course. But the problem is it was a dreadful film. I will be discussing next week. My fear is, the Royal Society of Portrait Painters annual show is going ahead. Unfortunately, it will be in the Mall galleries in September, but it had to be postponed from May, so that affected me. Obviously, films have, because I've been reviewing a classic film and a stream film every week. But so far as royal work's concerned, there's been less effect because quite a lot of it is done, you know, Skype, WhatsApp, whatever, I mean, or telephone or FaceTime. So, I mean, from that point of view, I've managed to adapt things, or they've been the same. And that is not, you know, I've been very, very fortunate from that, especially since there's been so much royal work and issues dealing with Andrew, Harry and Meghan.
Step away from that, Richard. Step away from it, please. You know, there's enough already. And I have to say, Phil Linus, our mutual colleague in Los Angeles, has got a major question he wants to put to you via Zoom in a couple of weeks' time. So I don't want to go any further down that line, but it is quite interesting and involves an awful lot of conspiracy theories, as Californians are known to be aware of. Let's move on to Carol Reed and a movie which certainly doesn't have much social distancing in it at all, but has some insufferably catchy tunes. And I do know that both Liz, Ben and yourself, Richard, would do anything for you, dear. Anything for you, dear. Anything, anything for you. Oliver.
Wonderful.
Keep the day job.
And after all my praise for your routine as a dancer with the Sloopies, and hang on, Sloopy, honestly, Liz. Richard.
I've actually been listening to them being sung, and I think that's a terrifying sound. In fact, that is the worst singing that I've heard since Nicole Kidman in Australia.
Well, I learned from the best, Richard.
I mean,
even worse. There's Margaret Beckett for Charity, that is whatever it is in New Orleans. My God, she croaks. Oh, terrible. No, Oliver's fabulous. And the great thing about Oliver is that the tunes, as you say, are so infuriatingly catchy. They're wonderful. So, I mean, Ron Moody's Fagin was a glorious creation. You've got to pick a pocket or two, be back soon. I'm reviewing the situation and so on. And I mean, the whole thing was perfection. Worked so beautifully, parts of it visually sumptuous and sublime, and you're sort of like walking into a Christmas card, the Seeds of London, the Dickensian era. Carol Reed directing with aplomb, and Ron Moody, absolutely fabulous. Oliver Reed, perfect for Bill Sykes. Shawnee Wallace made the part of Nancy very much her own. It's a fine, fine life. And the whole thing was a joyous experience, and of course, best picture. Oscars as well, and I mean, a fabulous success. Everyone enjoyed it, and it's really, from whether it's Harry Seacombe, Mr. Bumble, or whether it's Hugh Griffith's Drunken Magistrate, I mean, there's so much to enjoy in every part of this movie.
obviously eulogising about the whole process there, and I won't sort of throw in my line that for me I felt Chitty Chitty Bang Bang and Doctor Dolittle were much better musicals, but that's another line entirely. Liz, yes, Liz, your thoughts on Oliver, Lionel Bart's classic?
Well, it is a classic, you know, it's something we grew up with. And Oliver asks for more and those magical lines. And as Richard's always already said, those particular tunes that are ingrained in us. So it's just, I remember so many times, and Ron Moody I did know, and an amazing man. I remember giving a dinner party once in a restaurant club, fairly near the theatre, and I'd asked him to come, and he did. He came on and joined us, and it was because the restaurant had seriously messed up and double date and everything. We were so late that by the time he arrived, you know, we were actually just starting. So it was about 11:30, and he joined us for dinner, which was a wonderful experience. Great guy. Great guy.
Mark Lester, of course, we've featured a few years ago. He now works as an osteopath, which I suppose when you've actually been a child actor and you've waited until 18 to actually get your payment, which was interest, and you buy a Ferrari, why not become an osteopath? It's the way forward. Yeah. So, thankfully, he's still with us, unlike Jack Wilde, of course, who sadly passed away a few years ago, and indeed Din Nancy's friend, Bet, who also sort of is no longer with us. Nancy herself, of course, Shani, is, I think, 87 years young and still doing magical things, etc. Ben, Carol Reed actually was known to have an eye on 80 takes in certain instances to do some of the actual routines. It was actually taking 3 to 4 weeks. They built the whole set of Bloomsbury Square. It was certainly an epic in every sense of the word. Is it something that appeals to your good self? Is it something which you're going to say, I'm going to go straight on to one of those streaming services and watch the movie as it was made to be watched on one of these devices here?
Of course, especially when you're from home, aren't you, Richard? You have to watch them now on devices. But
it needs to be pointed out, Liz, that Ben is the sole person who's ever managed to get Richard Fitzwilliams to actually watch the trailer for Lion King on a mobile phone, something he swore never to do, in the same way as he doesn't like to watch any trailers at all.
I feel about trailers, because to me they're so often full of spoilers, and not necessarily a dramatic movie, but anything is spectacular. I think they'll show you a sort of subliminal flash, you'll see something. Don't you think it spoils the fun of it, the surprise, the excitement?
I don't think so, no, because trailers, the kind of things that suck me into wanting to see the film. And it's one of the things I always want to, I don't want to miss. If I'm going to the cinema, I want to see the trailers. I don't mind the ads. Now, my brother-in-law can't stand that, and my sister tolerates it. But I love the trailers. I really do.
Mm. Okay. That's two for one. Ben's quite a trailer person. In the minority. Anyway, Ben, your question about Oliver, will you be checking it out?
I would like to. I would like to, as I should do with Bugsy Malone and probably a few other musicals as well, which I remain to have seen, but I would like to see them. It's just a case of, I guess, finding time, but then also finding where to watch them. So if it's on the streaming service, I shall watch it.
Mm. Oh, it's Amazon.
Wonderful. I shall watch it.
Okay, Richard, your next movie that you want to share with us today is from the Curzon Home Cinema streaming chain, and it is...
This is Clemency. This is a powerful movie. This is a really visceral experience of all the movies that I've seen streamed. Who You Think I Am with Juliette Binoche and this are the two best. And we meet Bernadine Williams, played by Alfre Woodard, and she is the warden of a prison with over 1,000 prisoners in it. So the first scene is so horrific when an execution goes badly wrong, and it's terrifying to see the hideous way, the details of this, and you realize that you're in for an experience that certainly is very powerful in the cinema and the widescreen. I think it would be even more so, but there is another prisoner who's due to be executed, Anthony Woods, played by Aldous Hodge, and the signs, all the pointers are, it's ever made absolutely clear, is that he is innocent, and also he will be the 12th prisoner whose execution Bernadine would have seen as warden, and I mean, that hers is not a job, it's a profession, but the way it's taking its toll on her is fascinating. I mean, psychologically, it's a riveting study. You see that her marriage is decidedly rocky because clearly what she's doing, how she's doing it, and the fact that she's still justified doing it, the demonstrations outside the prison, the lawyer, Marty, played by Richard Schiff of Anthony Woods, is trying to get a reprieve. It's unlikely, and there's an excellent performance by Bernadine's husband, played by Wendell Pierce. He's a gentle teacher, and he sees what's happened to his wife, and they're drifting further apart. And no spoilers, but the added drama when Anthony is visited by Vets, played by Danielle Brooks, who's a former girlfriend, reveals that when she left him, she was pregnant, so he has a son. And that's a really, really strong scene. I mean, the way this movie affects you, especially given the content of it, and without revealing what happens to Anthony and also to Bernadine, Alfred Woodard, she's a well-known African-American actress who specializes in television movies. I wasn't that familiar with her, but
Richard, she was the lead role in Star Trek First Contact. She was Zefram Cochrane's girlfriend. I mean, come on now. You should know this.
I know that you, Alex, will know, and therefore, I mean, a lot of people will be familiar with them, but my goodness me, this movie packs a punch, and it really, really is a strong, searing experience, very tense, very dramatic, extremely well scripted, filmed in a rather documentary style, and it will mesmerize you. It certainly did me, and as I say, I think it's the finest film with Who You Think I Am during lockdown that's been streamed. I wish it had been released generally, but it's not the sort of movie that you'd go and see for an average person to go and see, obviously for pleasure, but if you want something that really, really will have impact, this will.
Okay, Liz, has that sold it to you? Not a movie to go and see for pleasure, but if you want to have a Syrian impact, go and see Clemency.
Type of film at all. I want to go and see a film. Like anything that I watch nowadays is to actually give me a lift and make me feel good. I love rom-coms, but I like happy films. I like comedies, but I like things that make you laugh. I don't like gruesome films. I don't watch horror films really either. So no, it definitely 100%. It's described as not my type of film. Yeah, I'm afraid. Yeah.
Okay, Ben, what about yourself? Do you like unremitting misery or searing images coming across, or is it a case of, no, I'll just chill out?
I'm with Liz on this one. I prefer uplifting films. Horror movies, I think I can't take them seriously enough because they've always got such a poor storyline, or they're so poorly done that you almost think they're having a laugh. So you end up laughing at some of them. Well, I do anyway, but I do like comedy, but I also do like action films. I find thrillers quite interesting, and I always anything that grips me, I really enjoy. But horror movies, I just don't see the point. I really don't see the point in them, and I don't understand why people get adrenaline rushes from them or anything.
Especially when we're living in one.
It's a tough. I have to say, I wouldn't see a horror movie if I had the choice, but as a movie critic, of course, you can't avoid them, and for obvious reasons not. But this is a really, really forceful drama, and so you're longing to know throughout this movie what climactically is going to happen. Will there be a prosecution, and how will this affect Bernadine? It really, really is an amazing movie, but clearly I can sold it to neither of you because you're looking
for the sort of experience. Well, it's early doors yet, Richard. It's the first time we've actually done one of your reviews with a full team via Zoom, because normally we've had several folk in the studio. Ben, I sense this might be the time for you to throw in that challenge regarding the James Bond movie Thunderball and see if you've got any kind of quick questions you want to either throw at myself or Richard or Liz, either regarding that movie or indeed anything else in general. If you're not prepared, I can appreciate we can move it to another time.
Not massively prepared, if I'm honest. Full work week makes it difficult to watch James Bond films of an evening. But is it my job to quiz you? I thought it was the other way around. I thought.
No. It's but I could throw in something for your good self. I mean, I could actually say, what was the name of the character, the female lead in Thunderball?
You said this to me last week, and I've forgotten the answer. That's quite bad, isn't it, really?
Oh, dear. As I know that Liz will be saying, it was Dominique Duval, played, of course, by Claudine Auger. And her character was actually changed from Italian to French because, as a French actress, they felt that actually it was better to actually run with the French as opposed to the Italian connection. So there we are.
Story for you. I gave a party, this was in fact late 1990s, and a particularly prepossessing lady came in. It was brought by a friend of mine, and for some reason I made a joke about that I hoped she wouldn't find anyone in the room to fight with. And not like I said, the gypsies in From Russia with Love. And it turned out, weirdly enough, she was Martine Besic, who not only was a villain, but also the gypsies in From Russia with Love.
She was indeed. And also was the CIA agent in Thunderball. So she'd been in two Bond movies from that point of view. And of course, in lots of Hammer horror movies too. Martine Besic, still doing wonderful stuff, which is great. Ben, any other questions you'd like to put to Richard or Liz about life in the PR industry or indeed general netiquette post-lockdown? Because I'm not sure. Liz, I don't think you're an elbow bumper, are you? You're more of a kind of namaste greetings person. Handshakes out of the question, obviously.
No, I don't think we do this in the Eastern Greek very well. As for the elbow bump, it looks ridiculous. I mean, when you see our PM doing it, it's even more ridiculous. So no, I don't. But we are animals, and we are very much touchy-feely. So it's not an easy period for us. And I've done so many programs on whether or not we're going to lose the handshake and what's happening. Well, we've got a whole world growing up at the moment who won't be doing the handshake. And it is something that we've been programmed to do. One thing I'm delighted at is that we no longer have people invading our core, as it were, our energy, and feeling they've got the right when they first meet you to give you a smack on both cheeks. Or a hug, you know, at least you have a period of time when you get to know somebody, and then if you want to do a bump or a bum bump or a this or a that, whatever, you're right to do that. But other than that, as I say, the world is going to reboot and we're going through a completely new phase now. And what we've got to do is, the government being quite clever in the fact they've been drip feeding into us, because we have this herd, and I suppose we can't help it, but for a majority of people in this country. For example, when it was announced, what did we do? We went and cleared all the shelves for some extraordinary...
Can't have enough toilet paper though, Liz, let's face it.
Yeah, I know. So that's herd instinct. So what they, having had that experience, what they've had to do is virtually drip feed us, rather than, I know they're trying to deal with us as people who have common sense.
Oh no, don't go there.
Using that, but
how would we have the President of the United States if we had common sense? Sorry, Liz, but never mind.
At least they're giving it that option. They say, you know, and we could, whatever we're going to do, think about it and do the most sensible thing. And because, as you know, every time they issue a small set of advice, we all question it or we repel against it, rather than thinking, okay, well, what would be the sensible thing to do? And I said weeks ago, I said, unless people take this seriously, you've got people rioting in the streets, you know, cheek by jowl, of course it's going to come back. I knew it would come back. And directly say, okay, you can now go out, you can go to the beach, or you can do, what happens? The figures start going up again, which means we're going to be suffering again, rather than everybody saying, great, well, let's take it now drip by drip, let's be careful, and let's try and live a life where we're going to have to tolerate this until they get a cure. I'm not so sure about vaccine, but until that point, whatever Donald Trump might say about what he's taking or not taking, and whether it works or not or doesn't, what we've got to do is come to terms with the fact that our life will change. And as such, young people growing up, it won't be so difficult. It's people like us who have got used to a certain lifestyle, and that will no longer exist. That won't exist with Richard, not, you know, with cinemas, until they, you know, put the luxury seat some of the cinemas have, widely spaced apart. We're going to be watching it on, you know, our computers, etc. So life will change. We just have to use our common sense and try and adapt to it.
Liz, I think that's a perfect sort of wrap up for this particular sequence. Especially, I never thought anybody other than yourself could actually use the term bum bump so effectively. I mean, this is extraordinary. You know, I almost had to do a double take there, but I thought, no, she did.
I demonstrated it on the first week or so of the lockdown. I'm trying to think which program. Well, I think it was ITV's This Morning. It was either Good Morning Britain, but I think it was This Morning. Mm. And I've got all ready to ask me to demonstrate it. But then they put me on a high stool and sat 2 meters away. So there was no way I was going to be able to demonstrate the bum.
I mean, Richard, have you engaged in any way, shape or form in terms of greeting people with the bum bump?
I never knew it existed, to be perfectly honest.
And Ben, from your own perspective, is this something which, you know, we need to know? Is it down with the youngsters?
It's not something I've come across either.
Don't expect it from me when I see you on Tuesday, is all I can say. It's not going to happen.
Sounds very innovative. I can't wait to see you try it again on national television, Liz. Or I can't wait to see Richard do it the next time he goes to a screening.
Liz, it's been fantastic sharing some thoughts with your good self. Oh, sorry. Liz, have you had a reasonably interesting Zoomer today? Richard seems to have lost the power of speech at the present, but he's doing a kind of an elbow bump at this stage.
Oh, right. You've gone silent.
Yes. It's all right. Liz, have you enjoyed the last Zoomer? Has it been good for yourself?
Very good indeed. Absolutely. Yeah.
So I know when we spoke last time via telephone, we said we'd try it by Zoom. I think it's worked. Will you be kind enough to return in the not too distant future?
I will, most definitely. Absolutely. Perhaps I can next time give you advice on, you know, not that you need it, but on Zoom, because I've done 3 interviews recently that are going to appear in various magazines on virtual meetings and how to go about it. So that you all start on the same key and the sound is on various other
things. We do our best. Sometimes people mute themselves. Sometimes people don't mute themselves. It's all very crazy. It's an anarchistic approach that we take, Liz, which in its own way, post-production will work wonders. That's the important thing. Ben, good for you?
Yep, very well, thank you. Good fun. Thank you.
Excellent. Back again, I think, in a matter of moments, really, because you're doing a triple whammy of Zoomers from our point of view today. We might be going to a vet's waiting room next up. Extraordinary. Richard, reasonably interesting Zoomer from your good self. Our first ever phone link and Zoomer combined, featuring one of your film reviews.
Indeed, yes. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Excellent. Back again, of course, next week. Do you want to tease ahead to the classic movie next week?
Well, I can tell you one movie next week which we're going to be discussing, which is not a classic, and that is Unhinged, because anyone who goes to see it, it's a very good description of them once they've read my review of it.
See it.
Richard Fitzwilliams, Ben Lewis, and Liz Brewer, huge thanks, and keep happy bum bumping.
Oh, happy bum bump. Try it out, Alex.
Anything. Wear a daffodil.
Anything.
Leave me all your wealth. I'd do anything for you, dear. Anything for you mean everything to me. I know that I'd go anywhere for your smile. Anywhere for your smile. Everywhere I'd see.
Would you lace my shoe?
Paint your face bright blue.
Anything. Catch a kangaroo. Anything.
Go to Timbuktu.
And back again. I'd risk everything for one kiss. Everything. Yes, I'd do anything.
Anything.
Anything for you.
I'd go anywhere for your smile.
Oh, well, it's time to have another wonderful, joyous connection with our correspondent in Gibraltar. It's the one, the only, Gabriella Peralta. How are you, Gabriella?
Hi, morning. Very well. Weather's lovely in Gibraltar and I'm still at home.
Marvellous. And I've just realised that you may actually only be able to sort of guess at the weather forecast for Lincoln, England, because the usual magic magicians who actually provide details with that may not have actually sent any details across at all. But never mind. That's OK. You know, I'm sure we can work through that.
I'm looking up online now.
Oh, yeah. You see, there we are. You see, it's the magical world of online. But just think. If we were having this conversation about 40 years ago, the whole notion of I'm looking it up online, what are they talking about? What a strange world in which we live. So any feedback or fallout as yet from the fact that clearly if you're a Brit soul holidaying in Spain, you need 2 weeks isolation. Suddenly it's a case of, oh, there are all manner of issues coming together from that point of view. Have you been impacted by that decision in Gibraltar, or is it a case of nothing to do with us?
Well, we have an air bridge with the UK, but ours is unaffected because at the time, I think we only had between 3 and 5 cases, and not all of them were Gibraltar residents, some were cross-frontier workers. Mm. And now we have 6 cases total. So we weren't affected by the quarantine measures that the UK has now put for Spain. But it was a concern when it was announced. I think it was announced on a Saturday or a Sunday. So it was a big surprise for everyone. And I did feel quite bad for all the people in Spain rushing. And apparently it was quite a scene at Malaga Airport on the Sunday of people trying to catch flights before midnight that night so it could avoid quarantine. But it hasn't affected tourists in Gibraltar, which has been great for us. But there was a worry for a day whether we would have quarantine measures implemented as well, so any tourists going back to the UK would have it. But luckily that's not been the case, because we still have very few cases, and so that's positive in a way. We kept it quite low.
Featured in the Gibraltar Chronicle from indeed the Press Association's political editor David Hughes, Boris Johnson indicated that quarantine restrictions could be imposed on further European countries if a second wave of coronavirus hits the continent. It's not worth leaving home, is it, Gabriella?
Well, apparently if you're from the UK, no, you can't really travel safely. And I did think it was really abrupt. I think people were given practically no time to plan. It was 24 hours at most that people were told. So that's quite awful for people who had just arrived in Spain and were running back home. So
the Spanish Prime Minister Pedro Sanchez has described the restrictions on travel to the country as an error. I think that's very polite, but still, never mind. That's, another sort of interesting line on that. What else have you been getting up to this week, Gabriella? I mean, clearly, as you are producing fantastic stuff for the Gibraltar Chronicle, working from home, what sort of stories have you been covering? I mean, I gather that there's a cyclist who cycled all the way from Holland to Gibraltar to bring a bit of light relief to the actual news system.
Yeah, lovely that there's something not COVID related in the paper. We've also been covering things are coming back to normal, so we've been covering small art exhibitions where very few amount are allowed to see at any given time, but they are now holding events again, mainly exhibitions, because you can monitor how many people are coming in and out. But shows and such, that's not going on at all still. And there's we've had a lot of events cancelled, as everyone else has, for the summer. So even the Miss Gibraltar pageant has been cancelled. So I'm guessing it's because Miss World is also cancelled, because you can't have 100 women from across the world gathering in one place.
Could they not do it virtually, though, Gabriella? I mean, you know, I know that, you know, we've sort of discussed the whole notion of camera on, camera off, etc. But, you know, surely they could actually run something like that virtually. They don't have to physically be present in the country.
It would be very strange, wouldn't it, for someone to be in their living room.
It could be a different take on the whole system. And talking about tourism, I see that the Gibraltar tourism industry has been shaken up by the pandemic, impacting the tourist sites of Gibraltar, retail and dining shops, as well as the local taxi and tour operator companies. There's a suggestion here it's having to reinvent itself as the tourism business dries up. So, I mean, presumably, again, have you noticed many tourists around recently? Or is it a case of, don't be silly, they've just been talking about having to do quarantine if they go to Spain? Why would they come to Gibraltar?
There are groups of tourists, but there's not much, not as much as we would usually have. That's definite. And some businesses are now announcing redundancies. So in the past month, we've had a few businesses, large businesses, just, you know, you can't have the staff if there's nothing going on. And as well, some of the tour buses, so ones that were usually used for like rock tours privately, are now actually being used as part of our bus route. So it's quite interesting that you have a tour, like a tour bus, and it's being now hired by the government and will take you to the beach instead, because you can't have as many people on buses all in one go. So they've and to help the tourism sector, they've hired out tour buses instead, so you can go to the beach or go to town and use that as a public bus. Now we've got about three running on three separate new routes.
And have you taken the journey yourself?
No, I've only used the normal bus. I haven't yet used one of the tour buses.
All right, okay.
Well, but I've seen them drive past while I've been waiting at the bus stop.
As long as you have the mask on, that's the important thing, because it's interesting looking at buses travelling in the north of England, at least, even at a kind of a peak time, in the morning, sort of 9 a.m, 8 a.m, and so on. I tend to see about two or three people actually in aforementioned bus, obviously wearing masks as well. Apparently, the intention in June was to build a greener and healthier Gibraltar for future generations, which is one of the reasons why Line Wall Road, as well as Chatham County Garden Europort Road, were closed from the 1st of June. Now, I have no idea where or what Line Wall Road actually are, and so on, and indeed Chatham County Garden and Europort Road. But has that impacted at all, or is it just a case of, well, if we're going to go green, we've got to stop cars?
Line Wall Road is parallel to our high street. So our high street is pedestrianised, but it's a road parallel to it. So there was a lot of backlash from the public on closing that. So they closed it for 3 days a week unless you have a hybrid car. So that was unpopular at the time, but now they've issued plans where they're shown it to, you know, have trees and all the rest, and cycle lanes, and I think they're going to turn it into like a one-way street. But there's a lot of businesses on that road because it is in right beside the heart of town, so it's caused a lot of issues for those businesses because they might rely on people driving past and dropping someone off and going into their shop. So that's caused issue, but we'll have to see how the plans work out. I think since the plans have been announced, it's probably been a bit more positively met. Now people understand what's going on with the road. And Chatham County Garden, there was absolutely no issue with that because there's so many bars and restaurants on that street that it's probably a bit of a safety hazard to have it open in the first place and have cars passing by. So that's been well met. And the last one was Europort Road, which has
not to be confused with Eurosport Road, presumably.
Yeah. Well, we also have Europort Avenue, so it was very confusing at first.
Of course.
Yeah, it's Europort Avenue actually that's shutting, so not Europort Road.
After Brexit, will that be a case of it'll just be called Port Road? Will you drop the euro? Just a thought there. I mean, we have to rename it.
Oh, we have a lot of euro in Gibraltar. We have Euro Towers, yeah. Europort.
Oh dear.
Never mind. But we have new buildings.
It'll add up to a whole strange new world. At least the good thing is nobody's made the suggestion, as far as I'm aware, of letting all the roads actually be rewilded and let the apes come back down and repopulate the whole sequence from that point of view. Maybe it might be in the future. What's the weather for Lincoln, England going to be from Gibraltar, and your perspective, Gabriella, if the line has managed to send stuff to you?
Okay, so the weather that I have for Lincoln is 20 degrees. So that's next Wednesday, isn't it? 20 degrees. Mm-hmm. And then with a low of 14 degrees, and it's going to be a sunny but cloudy day.
Then that's all we need to know, really. And if you need further details, pop your head out of the door as long as you're socially distanced. Gabriella, have you had a reasonably interesting Zoomer with us this morning?
I have, thank you.
And the next critical question is, are you up for joining us on a double duty with Professor Jason Whittaker, who makes his Midweek Drive Zoom debut in the very near future?
Yeah, well, that's this afternoon.
Well, this afternoon to yourself, it could be days away as far as listeners are concerned.
All right.
But then again, as we've said before, what is time?